boy in the building tonight. By myself, I'm lonely. I'm Mr. Lonely. I have nobody but my own. What's good, people? It's your boy Delboy here, representing the It Boys, the Indie Takers. Unfortunately, couldn't get an episode down with my boy Jem, the young wolf, the young Sasuke. But we've been away for a couple of weeks, and it's, we still need to get the content out there. So please send some love to my boy Jem. We'll be back to regular scheduled programming from next week. We may either stick to the Sunday releases or continue. We may continue with the Sunday releases or maybe move to Mondays. It's just been a headache trying to like get our schedules aligned, especially with like personal life and other commitments that we both have. But we have to continue feeding the streets. You have to let the people know what gwan with indie wrestling, whether it be the UK, the US, Japan, Nigeria, Congo. We have to let you guys know, because if not us, then who? How can we lose if we already chose? I'm waffling. This is what happens when I'm by myself. I'm just here waffling. But yeah, we're gonna get straight into it. No holds barred, because there's a few things we need to catch up on. So let's start off with the UK. We're gonna start off with the UK. Myself and a few of the men from Rest Things, big up Lee McAteer, big up Spike Trevay. We were at Progress 151 Heavy Metal, and boy, I can't lie to you, it felt very, 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 very good to be back in Progress. It felt very good to be back at the Electric Ballroom, a sold out ballroom that is, and it hasn't been sold out since before the pandemic. Which is a good sign. It's an amazing thing to see, especially when a lot of things happened during the lockdown. A lot of, even prior to lockdown, a lot of the bigger stars ended up moving to either the WWEs or the AEWs or Japan's. Speaking out also happened, so a lot of stars, or I wouldn't, let me not even call them stars, a lot of dickheads got exiled out of the industry. So BritRest, since pandemic has been done, has more so been tethering on new talent, or talent that ne didn't necessarily get the shine before. So the fact that we've been able to get to a sold out Progress, with the main event being Spike Trevay versus Cara Noir in Progress's first ever cage match. Yeah, I couldn't even tell you. I couldn't even begin to speak about how good this cage match was. The whole show, top to bottom, was good. A lot of things happened. We first started off with Lio Rush versus Danny Black versus Leon Slater versus Robbie X. Ba 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 banger, but is your baby? This match here, I'm gonna have to clap for everyone. Salute to every single man in that match. That match was absolutely crazy. Seeing, like, I've seen Leon Slater a few times live. I think I might have seen Danny Slater, not Danny Slater, no, Danny Black live. I've seen Robbie X live a few times. I've never seen Lio Rush live. But seeing Lio Rush live, honestly, it is like watching, it's like playing WWE 2K. Lio Rush is absolutely unreal, mixed with how good the other three are as well. Danny Black, Leon Slater, Robbie X. Absolutely amazing tandem. And for me, I need to see these guys continue wrestling each other week in, week out. And it needs to be not just Progress, it needs to happen everywhere. Like, absolutely amazing. Leon Slater got the win. His 450, his Swanton 450. Absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. Yeah, Leon Slater's him. I'm so sorry. Leon Slater is absolutely him, and I don't even know what else to say about the guy. Like, any, what else can be said about Leon Slater that's not been said? You've seen the gifs, you've seen the matches, and this guy's still so young, and there's only so much that this guy's gonna achieve. And just to, yeah, bro, yeah, I don't know what to say. And the other guys in the match, Robbie X is absolutely brilliant, Danny Black, amazing, Lio Rush is absolutely killing it. Like, just to even see Lio Rush at New Japan Wrestle Kingdom show earlier this year, like, for me, it's just like, bruh, bro. I'm just happy to see that. So, yeah. And what else happened in the progress show? RKJ, he revealed the new Atlas title, which looks absolutely brand spanking beautiful, absolutely beautiful belt. He did make some claims that, this belt is not just the belt for the super heavyweights. This is the belt for the absolute best. He called out guys like Brian Cage, and he called out a few guys. RKJ was talking a bit spicy, you feel me? But it's warranted. I feel like the reign that RKJ is gonna have with this Atlas belt is going to be unbelievable. Like, RKJ is an absolute talent. If you've seen him wrestle, probably heard him on a podcast. Bro, this guy, he's the absolute truth. He's the absolute truth. And again, these young cats that are coming out of the UK, it makes no sense to me how good they are. Like, bro, this guy was recently the RevPro British Heavyweight Champion, Atlas Champion. Like, in the next few years, he's definitely gonna be a Progress World Champion. Who knows? He might even go to Japan or go to the States. Like, it'd be, yeah. Like, I'm banking on a lot of these UK guys, man. A lot of them have it, and they've got everything. They've got everything. There's like, I'm lost for words. There's not much I can really say about these wrestlers that haven't already been said or we haven't told them. But this is what Indie Takers is for. It's about giving these people the flowers and discussing about the indie so that everybody who doesn't get a chance to see them or hasn't had the chance to see them might hear this and be like, you know what? Let me go check it out. So, what else? Bullet came out. He had like a 10-minute segment, and for 8 minutes of that 10 minutes, it was more so the fans taking over. If you've never been to a Brit Rest show, you already know that. The fans, like, if you've been to a football match, you already know how manic it is with the crowd chants and the singing. A Brit Rest is exactly the same. Exactly the same. And like I said, Bullet was probably meant to speak for like 10 minutes, 8 minutes, however long. 90% of it was the crowd singing and making chants. And it's an absolute scene to see, man. And just being back at the ballroom, like, the atmosphere was absolutely great. It was so positive, absolutely dope, sick. We had other good matches, Millie McKenzie and Skye Smithson, Session Moff Martina versus LA Taylor, another good match. Charles Crowley versus Mike Bird. I've got some things to say about these two. Charles Crowley has one of the best entrances I've ever seen. His energy, his rapport with the crowd. He's a very tenacious guy. If you've seen him online with a lot of his antics and the singing, and he calls himself the Spectacular Twat, or whatever he calls himself. Just seeing his entrance live, phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. The crowd absolutely love him, and I feel like he could go as far as he wants to go. I would love to see him in Japan. I feel like they love him in Japan. I would love to see him in MLW. I'd love to see him in Ring of Honor. I would love to see him on national TV, honestly. This is the Indie Takers. We're not meant to be talking about the WWEs or AEWs, but I would love to see him in that ilk, because I feel like, as much as his stuff is very risque with a lot of the stuff he's doing online, but I do think that there is space for him on TV because he's got it. Mike Bird, I have to salute Mike Bird. This match I enjoyed a lot. Mike Bird, I don't think, I'm very surprised why I don't hear a lot about him. He's like a wrestler's wrestler. He can do it all. He's got the comedy stuff intact. He's a great technical wrestler. He's got good timing. His moveset is absolutely great. And their match, like, was a very, like, hard-hitting match. A lot of comedy stuff in the beginning, but as time went on, you kind of saw that, yo, both of these guys can really, really wrestle, which was great to see. And I want to see more from Mike Bird. I feel like Mike Bird should be up, and I'm sure he's already doing up and down the country, but I want to see Mike Bird in like the PWG, and I want to see Mike Bird in like the Strong Style 16 or the 16 Karat Gold. Like, I want to see Mike Bird up and down, absolutely killing it. I feel like Mike Bird would absolutely kill it in Noah. There's a faction called Real that Timothy Thatcher's in. I feel like Mike Bird would absolutely kill it there. So listen, any Noah representatives or any Noah fans, at Noah, let Mike Bird go to Japan and kill it in Noah. I feel like he would absolutely kill it there. Even in Glee or Great, or however we pronounce it, I feel like he'd absolutely kill it there as well. But fast forward onto the main event, Spike Trevay versus Cara Noir for the men's world heavyweight title. in Progress's first ever cage match, and Spike promised us a good match when he came on the podcast and we interviewed him. He promised us a good match, and unfortunately, there was an injury to Karl Renoir, but credit to him for fighting through it, being a tremendous sport that he is. That match has been one of the best matches I've seen in life, honestly. That match was absolutely great. I would do Bang Up Adizio, but I feel like you guys need to actually go and watch it. It's easy for me to do the echo and say, yeah, Bang Up Adizio, baby. This was a Bang Up Adizio. And this is one of those matches where you see it live and you need to watch it again just to see the commentary, just to see how the commentary adds to the match, just to see some of the angles. And you know, we saw everything. We were literally on the balcony. We had a bird's eye view. We saw pretty much everything happened in that match. Even just the way the match started, they shook each other's hands, both started off with a headbutt. There was color, shouts to NK Pore. Even like a there was like a there was a spot where Spike was chained to the rope, and Kara wanted to climb out the cage, and Spike said, no, don't climb out, because if you beat me, you didn't really beat me. You're just taking the coward's way out. You have to actually beat me. And just the storytelling, and you can tell that these guys have like an intricate mind when it comes to the way that they want to tell their stories. And you know, just the whole the way the match was sold, from you know, two birds in a cage, the Black Swan versus the Vulture, it was an absolutely epic match. Speedy recovery to Karl Renoir. Wishing you well. I hope to see you back in the ring real, real soon. It's never nice to see wrestlers get injured, but not to say that it added to the match, but it did add to the maybe to the spectacle of it at the end. You know, when you see both of them lying down, and you know, this is where like when it comes to indies, like you wish it was like a TV show, because you know if it was WWE, they'd have like an aerial shot of both of them on the ground just lying there. WWE, AEW, all these major companies, they're known for that. But yeah, it was absolute scenes, man, and the crowd absolutely loved it. It was just an absolute epic night. Shout out to Sam Blacks, absolute epic night. It's very interesting to kind of see what happens next for Spike, who's going to be next in line for that world title. I'm very intrigued. I've seen shouts online, some murmurs about you know maybe Leon Slater versus Spike Trevay encounter. I feel like RKJ versus Leon Slater for me is probably the match I want to see next. You know, I would love to see some more high flying people going for the Atlas title. You know, I know it's deemed a super heavyweight title, or you know, but switch it up a little bit, man. You know, switch it up a little bit. But let's head over to Ring of Honor real quick. I'll be honest with you guys. I don't have much to say about Ring of Honor this week. I'll be very, very real. I don't have much to say about Ring of Honor. I feel like Dr. Umar repeating myself. But yeah, I don't have much to say about Ring of Honor this week. I'll be real. And the reason that is because, I feel like, listen, I'll put my hands up. I feel like Ring of Honor has lost its novelty. I'll be very, very real. I don't think Ring of Honor is what it was the first two couple of weeks prior to Supercard of Honor, you know? Ring of Honor came back, and I felt like we were getting this shift of a different product that is not AEW. You know, it's not the original Ring of Honor that I love, but as a Ring of Honor fan, I have to stomach that and understand that, yeah, this is not it. But, you know, we started to see glimpses of like new teams and new people that, you know, we feel like this company would focus on. But as time started to go on, I'm not sure what was happening. It started to seem like it started to dissipate from what Ring of Honor was becoming, and then started to go back to what AEW Dark and Dark Elevation is. And now that's what it seems like I'm watching. It seems like I'm watching AEW Dark 2.0 and AEW Dark Elevation 2.5. And I can't lie to you, I'm getting sick of it. I'm absolutely getting sick of it. For this week's Ring of Honor, the only good matches I can really talk about is Gringo Loco versus Vikingo for the AAA Mega Championship, which is a very good match. By now, if you're not familiar with Vikingo, I have to ask you where you are or what are you doing with yourself, because he has been on US TV for the best part of nearly coming up to a month now. And if you've not seen anything from him, then you need to wake up and smell the coffee. But if you haven't seen Gringo Loco, this is a great introduction to him. He's, had some spells in MLW. He does a lot for GCW, especially when it comes to luchadors coming in and wrestling for GCW. He does a lot, and Gringo Loco is absolutely amazing. I feel like Gringo Loco deserves the absolute world. The fact that he's been able to have his only just have his Ring of Honor debut in 2023 absolutely shocks me, and it absolutely shocks me. It doesn't make any sense to me. But there's no time like the present. It's a huge platform for him, and like I said, Ring of Honor, the novelty is worn off for me. I don't know what happens next for him. I'll be real. Do I want to see him in Ring of Honor? Of course. I feel like he deserves it. He would be a great addition. And before Ring of Honor decided, before Ring of Honor got sold, we started to see like a massive influx of luchadors coming in. We saw Rey Horus, we saw Flamita, we saw Bandido. We started to see like a massive like a Rush, Dragon Lee. A lot of luchadors started to come in, and they started to cement their place within Ring of Honor. And I feel like Ring of Honor would be a great place for a lot more to come in and cement their place. I feel like luchador wrestling is an amazing art form. Of course, there's going to be people that are not familiar with it, and the only time that they really have any inkling of what luchador is when they watch Rey Mysterio matches, which for me, I hear it, but Rey Mysterio hasn't done proper luchador wrestling in maybe 20 odd years. Maybe bar some of the stuff he done in Lucha Underground, but a lot of his stuff is diet luchador stuff. But just to kind of see what these two did, Gringo Loco and Vikingo, absolutely tore the shit off that place. And the crowd were into it, and I feel like Gringo Loco can bring a lot to Ring of Honor, but I just don't know the direction of Ring of Honor, if I'm being very honest with you. I couldn't tell you where Ring of Honor is going. I'd feel like even Ring of Honor doesn't know whether it's coming or going. I feel like there's so many things that me as a person, if I was booking Ring of Honor, would not be happening. I feel like one, and I've said this time and time again, no real clear divisions in terms of like the television title, the world title, and the pure title. Could probably even say the women's title as well. The tag team division is solid, and I could possibly even say the six man division. We don't even know what's going on with that. There's no real clear divisions. There's an overexposure of the champions having too many matches, and all these qualifying matches and contender matches. It's fucking bullshit. Get rid of that shit. Why? Put these people into stories. I can understand the exhibition matches here and there, but if all they're doing is just wrestling matches against non-entities or people that's not believable that they're going to win against, we might as well watch AEW Dark. That's the God to honest truth. And me, I'm getting sick of it. I'm getting absolutely sick of it. So, like, I could rant about a Ring of Honor, but I don't want to be that negative person because, listen, I could really do Barbecue Club for Ring of Honor, but I am not. I've not come to do angry JD, whatever that dickhead's name is. I've not come to do that. Do you know what I mean? Me, if I'm ever upset about a product, I'm gonna give constructive criticism to where I feel like it should change. And I feel like time and time again, I'm suggesting stuff, but of course I don't have any power like that. There's nothing I can really do. Do you know what I mean? But Ring of Honor at this point, for me, I feel like the only thing I can really look forward to are one or two matches similar to Rampage and maybe the pay-per-view. That's about it. And that upsets me because I'm a huge Ring of Honor fan. Anyone will tell you. But yeah, swiftly moving on. The next match that's worth talking about Ring of Honor was Takeshita versus Lee Moriarty. They had a match, I think, was it last year at Prestige Wrestling, which was really, really, really good. Go and check that out. This match, listen, if you know Lee Moriarty, you know what to expect from him. If you know Takeshita, you know what to expect from him. If you've seen the previous match, you know that was good. So just, yeah, watch this match. It was a very, very good match. Nice Ring of Honor match. Yeah, that's really all I can really speak about in terms of Ring of Honor. Like I've said, a lot of people feel like, oh, Derek, give it a bit of time. But listen, it's been maybe coming up to 2, 3 months now. There's there's only so much, like, there's not been an improvement. So you can tell me, oh, let it cook, give it some time. But it's like, how can it be cooking? And then as it's coming near to the pay-per-view, there's like a slight decrease in like the quality and the wrestlers you're bringing in. And that's not for me to shit on the wrestlers. Like, cool, like, bring people in. But at the same time, like, I feel like there needs to be some sort of like, what's the word? There needs to be some sort of like, I don't want to start waffling. There needs to be some sort of reason as to why you're booking certain people on the card. If we're just having random exhibition matches for the sake of random exhibition matches and it's not leading anywhere, then I'm just like, because a lot of the booking is very predictable booking. You're booking Bendejo versus the Eddie Kingston match, and it's like, we already know who's going to win this match. It's not like you're bringing in somebody credible and it's like, oh, okay, cool. This person has a fighting chance to get against Eddie Kingston. And another thing that grinds my gears is that you're bringing talent that you're trying to book well in Ring of Honor, but you're putting them in AEW to be spliffed. So, for example, Silas Young. Silas Young is one of the best television champions in ROH history. He's come back to ROH and he's been in a pretty prominent position. He's kind of cemented where he wants to be and the title he wants to go for. But you put him on AEW TV and you've absolutely spliffed him. So for someone like me that knows of Silas Young, that for me doesn't really do much. I'm not going to look at him any different. But for someone that's probably wants to tune into Ring of Honor, why would they care about Silas Young if this is what's happening to him in AEW? But then he has this gimmick of I'm the last draw man. And he couldn't even have a fighting chance. Let's be fucking real, man. Let's be fucking real. So, yeah. I mean, again, I'm always going to be tuning into Ring of Honor. But at some point, I might just crib it. Because if I don't see any improvement, if I don't see, like, some sort of, like, assertion in creating clear divisions, not an overexposure of your wrestlers wrestling every single week in some stupid contendership match when we know that that person, like... We don't need wrestlers to rack up wins for the sake of racking up wins. We want wrestlers to be having matches where it absolutely makes sense. Of course, here and there, but that's within stories. Not necessarily for the fact that they're not in a story, so let's just give them wins, 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 wins. It makes no sense. So, yeah, I have nothing to say about that show. We try again next week. Let's pedal back a little bit. We're going to talk about New Japan Collision in Philadelphia. That was a very, very good show. I cannot lie to you. Top to bottom, I can't think of anything that was bad on that card. I mean, we had Volador. Let's stop. We'll go quickly top to bottom because there's a lot to go through, so I don't want to take up too many people's time today, especially as I'm by myself and I'm going to have to waffle and I'm going to have to go based on memory. Volador Jr. and El Desperado versus Delirious and Kevin Knight. This was a very good match. Volador, I can't lie to you. I want to see Volador everywhere. He has the look. He has the talent. He's great. Absolutely great. His feud with Rocky Romero at the moment is still great. It's still cooking. But I want to see him everywhere. I feel like I want to see him in AEW. You know, I want to see him wrestle in the UK. I want to see him in Progress. I want to see him in Rev Pro. He would absolutely kill it in PWG. I'd love to see him in the bowler tournament. Yeah, I'd love to see him everywhere, man. I think Volador is absolutely great. El Desperado, he's El Desperado. He's Despy, man. Come on. Despy's Despy. Delirious is a legend. Absolute legend. He's hilarious. Kevin Knight is the motherfucking future, man. Kevin Knight is the motherfucking future. For real. His dropkick, like, his athleticism, it doesn't even make sense to me. Volador and El Desperado won that match. Alex Coughlin versus Tracy Williams. You guys, listen to me, yeah? How the fuck has New Japan booked a better pure rules match than Ring of Honor has done so far? Hear me out. How has New Japan booked a better pure rules match than Ring of Honor has so far? Hey, man, that's all I can say. That is all I can say. We had Team Filthy versus TMDK. Both great factions, man. I can't lie, I love both of these factions. At the beginning of the match, we had the referee checking. Referees usually check, for the knee pads just to make sure they had no weapons. Team filthy as they are, they all had weapons. And this match was dope. This was a follow up to the match that happened the night before with Tom Lawlor and Zack Sabre Jr. for the New Japan World TV title. It was an absolutely amazing match. I implore you guys to go and watch that. And then we also had Just Five Guys, so Sanada, Yoshinobu Kanemaru versus Rocky Romero and Homicide, formerly known as the Pitbulls. That was another good match as well. It's always good to see Homicide. Rocky Romero, I feel like he's just getting better with age. Kanemaru was great as ever. Our world champ Sanada, he's bloody dope, man. Like, he's absolutely bloody dope. One of my favorite matches of the night coming up. This is not even just a bias. People will say it's bias. It might be. I don't give a shit. Orange Cassidy versus Gable Kidd. This match was absolutely great, man. Absolutely great. To see Gable Kidd fighting for a title like the international title against someone like Orange Cassidy, both of their styles just meshed well. We need to see Orange Cassidy more in New Japan. I can't lie to you. This was his New Japan debut. You already know what you get with a Orange Cassidy match, and if this is your first time seeing Gable Kidd, Gable Kidd, he's absolutely serious. And even today's his birthday. Happy birthday, bro! Yeah, you really, God, I don't even know what else to say about this match. I implore you guys to go and watch it. It's an absolutely great match. We had LIJ, Tetsuya Naito and Hiromu Takahashi versus Kenta and Chase Owens. I don't really have much to say about this match. I don't give a shit about Chase Owens. Kenta, I'm a bit bored of. But Rocky Romero did come out and he announced that the All Star Junior Festival will be happening in Philly in the ECW Arena. So that is something worth, that's newsworthy. That should be good. We had Lance Archer versus Fred Rosser in a hardcore match street fight. I don't know, Philadelphia street fight. It was semi-finals for the US title tournament. Lance Archer obviously went over, which I'm guessing was always the plan. Seeing as Rickards, Juice Robinson was disqualified from the tournament. And we had Aussie Open defeating Tomohiro Ishii and Lio Rush for the New Japan Strong Openweight Tag Team titles in a very, very, very good match. I can't lie to you. Lio Rush and Tomohiro Ishii might be better than Lio. Yo and Leo, I can't lie to you. Maybe, I'm not too sure, but yeah, it was a very good match, man. Honestly, I implore you guys to go watch that. Capital Collision also was a good show as well. Yeah, there was tons of good matches. Aussie Open defeated Motor City Machine Guns for the New Japan Strong Openweight Tag Team titles. Tomohiro Ishii and El Desperado had a sick match. Obviously mentioned before, Zack Sabre Jr. and Tom Lawlor in the World TV Championship match. Yeah, yeah, TMDK versus West Coast or Wrecking Crew. Yeah, so if you haven't seen any of those, go back and watch them. Also, want to. This is not New Japan at the moment. This is Gleet or Great. I don't know how to pronounce it. I've heard people say Great. I've heard people say Gleet. It's a Japanese promotion where they. It's a mix of pro wrestling and UWFI rules fighting. And yeah, you have people that are freelancers, you have people that do both, men and women. One of the matches I feel like everyone needs to go, and yeah, they stream free on YouTube as well. One of the matches I feel like people need to go and watch is Kaito Ishida versus T-Hawk. T-Hawk is part of the Strong Hearts faction of Chima, El Linderman, and T-Hawk, and I feel there's a few other people as well. I think Shigehiro Eerie is part of him as well. I'm not too sure. I might be wrong. Please don't quote me. That match there, ba 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 bang up a dizio. Go and check that match out. Absolutely great match. And let's quickly end off on Impact Rebellion. It was a very, very good pay-per-view. Okay, lad. It was okay. It was a decent pay-per-view. I feel like there were a lot of matches that I don't necessarily care about, but for the most part, it was a good pay-per-view. It's good to see Impact getting a lot of love. They've got a new set, which was absolutely amazing, because I feel like that's been one of my gripes for the past few years, that their set is absolutely bullshit and they need to switch it up. And I'm not sure whether it's a budgeting issue, but it's a thing where it's like your pay-per-views can't always be red, and just change up the set, man. It feels very, very samey, and it's very like, I don't know, man. It's hard to watch sometimes. So yeah, but I'm gonna get into a few matches that I feel like people should definitely check out, which I think were absolutely great. The Impact Tag Team Championship match, which was Ultimate X. We had ABC, the Bullet Club guys, Chris Bay and Ace Austin versus Motor City Machine Guns. Listen, let me tell you guys something about Chris Bay and Ace Austin. Yeah, they are the greatest interracial tag team I've seen since Sarah J and Shirokkie da Ass. They are the greatest interracial tag team I've seen since Alexis Texas and Pinky. I have not seen an interracial team work in tandem as good as they have in a very, 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 very long time. In a very long time. And they deserve their dues. I'm not sure why they're not spoken about enough. I don't know if it's because they're an Impact. They had an amazing run in the Super Junior Tag Team Tournament. I don't know why I don't know why they don't get enough love. Because they're absolutely great. They are absolutely great. And Motor City Machine Guns, they're one of my favorite tag teams of all time. I feel like they just get better with age also. And I feel like they're only just gonna get better. Bullet Club won the tag team titles in a great match. Absolutely great match. If you can't go wrong with an Ultimate X match, especially if everybody is akin to that style of like the high flying and the strikes and things of that nature. Another great match was the Last Rites match, PCO versus Eddie Edwards. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say this here. You see PCO? I think PCO might be top five 50 plus wrestlers. I might be stretching it, but in terms of wrestlers who are 50 plus, I think in terms of his work rate, I don't think there's many that are better than him. You could bring up the Yuji Nagatas. You could bring up the Satoshi Kojimas. Fuck, you can even bring up Chris Jericho. I feel like PCO is definitely up there. You could even bring up Minoru Suzuki. I feel like PCO is up there, 100%. He is 100% there. That match was great. I'm intrigued to kind of see where Eddie Edwards goes from here. Can't lie, I need to see Eddie Edwards back in Japan, man. He needs to go back to Noah, or he just, I don't know. I need to see something from Eddie Edwards, man. I feel like he's started to get back into his stride, maybe like the last year or so, especially with like Honor No More disbanding. And then, him fighting for the Impact World title in a great match with Josh Alexander that happened a few months back. But I need to see what happens next, man. He's had a few appearances on New Japan Strong, but I need to see more from that. He needs to defeat Kenta at some point. Or I don't know, something needs to happen. Maybe go back to Ring of Honor. Something needs to happen. The X Division title match, triple threat match with Trey Miguel, Jonathan Gresham, and Mike Bailey. Great as always. You already know what you're gonna get from those three wrestling. I feel like we spoke about it last time. What's his name? Jonathan Gresham has found his stride in Impact, 100%. He's found his stride. And listen, I put my hands up. I definitely still believe in my statement I made last time. Mike Bailey is going to be a world champion in the next year, 100%. 100%. As much as he lost this match, he didn't come out a loser. None of these guys came out as losers. Absolutely great. And Trey Miguel is going to have a long title reign. I'm not too sure who's going to be the one to beat him. I feel like at some point it might have to be Mike Bailey, and then he might cash in option C to go for the world title. But yeah, great match. The Hardcore War match was dope. Team Tommy Dreamer versus Team Bully Ray. It was a good match. Funny stuff. Very intense. A lot of callbacks to a lot of ECW stuff. Go watch it. Check it out. Nick Aldis is now back on Impact. He came for commentary and he revealed, yeah, he's back in Impact now. Steve Macklin versus Kushida for the world title. Listen, this is a new generation. We are in a new season. Steve Macklin is the world champion. This match was absolutely great. Kushida is going to be a world champion at some point. I'm not sure when. I don't know whether it will be New Japan. I don't know if it will be Impact. But if Kushida doesn't win a world title in the next 5 years, the game is absolutely rigged because Kushida is great. I'm happy Steve Macklin won because he's been waiting for this belt for the past year or so. But yeah, Kushida needs that belt at some point, or I don't know. With the way New Japan is going, with Sonata winning the world title, it seems like they're treading into a new water in terms of, people that are going to be eligible for title shots. And, Kushida has to win a world title at some point. And following in suit of Steve Macklin is his wife, Deonna Purrazzo. She ended up winning the women's title as well in an amazing main event against Jordynne Grace. I feel like this match has been able to cement Deonna Purrazzo as the it girl in Impact. I feel like maybe the last year or so she's not really been the best of her strides. Like she's been Ring of Honor Women's Champion. She's been Impact Women's Champion as well. But I feel like a lot of people just have been kind of like thrown her by the wayside. She's not really been able to kind of showcase who she is as a wrestler. But all in all, this match, her and Jordynne Grace, they work perfectly together. Deonna won her first Impact World Women's Championship from Jordynne Grace. So just in similar fashion, she won it this time as well. And it was a good match. Jordynne Grace showed out. There was even a bit of color as well. Yeah, Rebellion was a good match. Was a good pay-per-view. I'll be very, very intrigued to kind of see what happens moving forward. I haven't watched this week's Impact, but it looks like Nick Aldis is first in line. And I know PCO is gunning for that world title as well. So, and this is my problem with Ring of Honor. We can see in other companies that there are multiple people gunning for world titles and whatnot. Whereas with Ring of Honor, all they want to fucking do is, if you beat me or if you are able to last 10 minutes, you get a world title shot. And it's just like, bro, give us fucking stories, man. Like, yeah, we love the wrestling. We enjoy the wrestling, but give us fucking stories. Give us other things that are gripping us to the product. You know what I mean? And that's just, I just don't believe that Ring of Honor are doing that currently, innit? So, yeah. Yeah, that's as much as I want to talk about today, anyways. We will be back this week, as always, properly. I'm not going to give you guys a match recommendation today. I feel like I can only do that whilst Jim is here. But yeah, Indie Takers, your boy Delboy, signing out. Peace.